Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 3 on Through the Word, as we come to the counting of God's servants. It is, as the first two chapters, a counting of numbers and names. And it is, as the first two chapters, a little dry. Now the text may be rather ordinary, but the subject is far from it. To serve God in the house of God is the essence of extraordinary. I have been serving God for 16 years, and I am still floored that I get to do this. And when I say floored, I mean I put my face to the ground to pray every time I prepare to record one of these messages. I'm serious. I know that God connects with people through His Word, and I know that God uses teachers to make that connection. But the fact that God would use me as a part of that work, I am as ordinary as can be. I'm just a man. But this work, this thing called ministry, is extraordinary. And God calls us, everyday Christians, to ministry. And speaking of ordinary people called to extraordinary work, we met some more of them today here on our road trip. Hello to Pastor Tim and all our new friends at Frimmer's Chapel in Corydon, Indiana. And as for me and my family, we are literally on the road today, so you may hear some road noise in the background. Not to worry, though, I am not the one driving. Now, the ones called to serve in God's house here in Numbers 3 are the priests and the Levites. Let's start in at verse 1. This is the account of the family of Aaron and Moses at the time the Lord talked with Moses on Mount Sinai. The names of the sons of Aaron were Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Those were the names of Aaron's sons, the anointed priests, who were ordained to serve as priests. So the first group of God's servants are the priests. Among the Jews, the priests were the spiritual leaders. Now don't confuse this with a Catholic priest, nor with a Jewish rabbi. Those are similar, but here in the Old Testament, these are the priests of Israel. At its core, the job of the priests was to connect the people with God. They represented the people before God, and they represented God before the people. That was the priest, and among the Jews, God called just one family to the priesthood, the family of Aaron, Moses' brother. God loves to choose families to serve together. It is nepotism in the best way. Aaron and his four sons served together. Well, it should have been four sons. Verse 4 reminds us that two of those sons died in the line of duty, dishonorable discharge. Nadab and Abihu failed to recognize the extraordinary nature of their job. They treated the work of God with contempt and offered God unauthorized fire. Read Leviticus for that story. So now there are only Aaron and his two sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, to serve as priests. But they did have help. Verse 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron the priest to assist him. They are to perform the duties for him and for the whole community at the tent of meeting by doing the work of the tabernacle." So here we return to the pattern of the first two chapters, which also began with the phrase, "The Lord said to Moses." The Lord's command for Moses here was to present the Levites to Aaron, to assist. Moses and Aaron were Levites themselves, so these men were extended family. Now the work of the priests took place primarily at the tabernacle. After all, the tabernacle was the place where God said that he would meet with his people. And that's what the priests were all about, connecting the people with God. They offered the sacrifices, taught the people the law of God, and led the people at the tabernacle. That's why verse 7 says that the Levites did the work of the tabernacle. We'll get more details on that in chapter 4. Now, the Levites' work was no part-time gig. Verse 9 says that they were to be given wholly to Aaron for the work, full dedication. And God was quite serious about who was called to be a priest. In verse 10, "Appoint Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Anyone else who approaches the sanctuary must be put to death." A healthy fear of God is necessary here. To serve in the sanctuary was to work in the presence of Almighty God. Holiness was required. Take that too lightly and it could kill you. No one takes a calling upon himself. It comes from God. But this is what amazes me most. In Jesus Christ, Peter calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Every Christian is called to serve, to be priests in a sense, called to connect people to God, and called to come boldly into the sanctuary of God. Now don't lose the fear of God part, but stand in awe that ordinary you and ordinary me are called to a work like this, and it is only because we are in Christ. Then in verses 11 to 13, the Lord reminds Moses of why he chose the Levites. They were not his first choice. God's original plan was to set apart the firstborn male of every family for this work. God explains that he set apart all of the firstborn of Israel at the Passover in Egypt. They were his. This may be a foreshadowing of Jesus, God's own son, and his anointed servant. But those firstborn Israelites didn't live up to that calling. It was the golden calf incident, when God's chosen people chose another god, when the firstborn should have taken their call to lead spiritually and put a stop to the sickening scene. They didn't do it, but the Levites did, and God traded the firstborn sons for the Levites. Then in verse 14, the Lord said, there's that phrase again, the Lord said to Moses in the desert of Sinai, count the Levites by their families and clans. Count every male a month old or more. So Moses counted them, as he was commanded by the word of the Lord. So the Levites, who were not counted with the fighting men and the other tribes, are finally counted here in chapter 3. There were three clans of Levites to count for the three sons of Levi in verse 17, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The family lines are further divided another generation, and my favorite names are in verse 20. The Merarite clans, Mahli and Mushi. If my name were Merari, I think I might name my kids Mahli and Mushi too. Or maybe it's Mahli and Mushi. Mushi? I'm not making fun, just freely admitting that I do not know how to pronounce these names. In any case, verses 21 through 39 give us the total counts for each of the three clans, along with each clan leader, their camping location around the tabernacle, and the assignment given to each tribe. The tabernacle was big, a portable building on a large scale, and every time the Israelites moved, the whole thing had to be carefully disassembled, carried properly, and reassembled at the next destination. So the Gershonites, 7,500 strong, were assigned to move the many tent coverings, lots of fabric and hides. The Kohathites, 8,600 strong, cared for and carried the ark and other furnishings. And the Merarites, 6,200 strong, cared for and carried the heavy wooden frames. Need a frame carried? Ask a Mushite. Okay, so I may be making a little fun.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing. And hearing through the word.